Under siege? This was plainly beyond the searcher. How could a place like Elysia possibly be under siege? From whom?
He stopped, dead, and his eyes suddenly opened wide.
Then, this has to be some sort of perverse joke, Titus, surely?
Crow shook his head. No, my friend, no joke. They're rising. And soon.
Who?
The warlord could keep silent no longer.
What is this threat? Who or what is rising?
They are rising, Crow repeated. The primal threat, the great old ones themselves. The stars are very nearly right, and the Cthulhu cycle deities are on the move again. But that doesn't mean you're excluded, Ornery. On the contrary. Indeed, both you and Maureen will be welcome in Elysia. It was Cathanid himself promised you that, remember?
Oh, I remember all right, the other answered a little sourly. But how does one attain Elysia? Titus, I've searched so hard. Believe me, I've tried. Man, I found out what you meant when you warned me that there was no royal road into Elysia. In fact, I had almost given up hope.
Crow bit his lip, and for the first time de Marigny knew that something gnawed at him, something other than the trouble brewing in Elysia. Crow covered it quickly, said,
You can't give up hope now, Henri. Not now. No, for now you're really needed in Elysia.
And again that tortured look.
Then, Listen, you're right about there being no royal road. I can't take you by the hand and lead you there, especially not now, but there is still a way. It's a pointer, that's all, a couple of clues, and they're the best I can do for you.
I'm listening, said de Marigny eagerly. Whatever it is, it has to be better than groping in the dark. Just keep talking, and believe me, I won't miss a word.
Very well, said Crow. First, there are places you can try looking in Earth's dreamlands. Now, we both know a little about the dreamlands, but we're not expert dreamers, so don't go jumping to any wrong conclusions. It's just a place to start. Then there's...
He paused, looked startled, grasped de Marigny's hand and held it tightly. For a moment his outline wavered, and at the same time his grip on de Marigny's hand seemed gentle as a girl's, but then he firmed up strong again.
Titus, I...
De Marigny was alarmed.
The warning I told you about, Crow cut him off. We only have a minute now, so listen. Back in old Fim Hadra, at the dawn of all earthly civilization, there was a wizard called Exioc Mool. He too might know something, if you can find him. And finally,
the light of the clock was pulsing faster now, and its colour was changing through all the shades of purple to a strange foxfire blue. Crow wavered again, grew wispy as smoke, tried to grab de Marigny and hang on to him. His hands went right through. De Marigny's and Silberhut's too, where they tried to hold fast to their old friend. And now, at the last, Crow's voice was thin as a reed.
Finally, there's a cloud of luminous gas out beyond the Red Medusa Nebula,
he said, as from a million miles away. But on the last word his voice grew fainter still and petered out altogether.
I know it, de Marigny cried. It has intelligence. It's fleeing from the hounds of Tyndalos.
Crow was still mouthing something, but the words were lost. Suddenly he seemed snatched up, whirled away. Pinwheeling down a whirlpool of throbbing blue light, he grew small in a moment. But before he vanished completely, his voice came back one last time.
But if you know that much, maybe you'd have discovered the rest too. That's good. I don't feel so bad about it now.
About what?
De Marigny frantically called after him, but only echoes came back. Titus Crow had gone, drawn back on Cathanid's great thought. To Elysia. Gone too, the whirlpool of blue foxfire, and the interior of the time clock pulsed purple as before.